Hi, my name is Luis. I come from Mexico, and my fun fact is that although I'm not the best football player, and football, soccer, just to clarify, I have played a game with the Tigres team, which I would say it's the best team in Mexico. Might be a controversial statement there, but yeah, it's the best team in Mexico for football soccer.
And that's Lewis from M21. This week, we're diving deep into Lewis's story on Humans of Minerva. Welcome to Humans of Minerva, a podcast that captures the interesting stories of humans at Minerva. I'm your host, Ben, and today I'll be sitting down with Lewis from M21. Hi, Lewis.
What's up, Ben? Long time no see.
Well, yeah, Okay, the joke. Here's a bit of context between Lewis and I. Lewis and I first met each other and fell in love in Tokyo, Japan.
Yes, great times.
Yes.
Well, every day, to be
honest. Every day.
It just gets more intense.
And actually, we did a bit of a road trip when we were both interning in Tokyo in the summer of 2017.
2017, yeah. Hakuba, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
And we're sitting in a car. And before that, we didn't really... No, I mean, we knew.
I feel like I had seen you before, and I was like, oh, your name's Ben. Or like, no, just like, oh, my name's Lewis. Like, we just met. But
yeah,
I don't think more than like a sentence, like we had talked or something.
Yeah, we probably like said hi, but yeah, that was like the longest time we spent together. And I think everyone else in the car was like either asleep or something else.
Yeah. Or just driving with like music or something.
Or like asleep while driving.
With music.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. But we ended up just like talking for a couple hours and having such a good time.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you brought the game.
I don't I like pulled out the what's that thing?
Questions to fall in love.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like 100 or something. I don't know how many.
Really? I thought it was like 100. Okay, if it's
that's way too long
at 100. Yeah.
And yeah, we just really hit it off. And that summer, we were watching these World Cup games till like 4 in the morning because that's when they were playing.
We would watch like 3 games in a row and then go to
go to work. Well, you would go to work. I would go to bed.
Yeah.
And since Lewis is from M21 and I'm M20, we didn't really come across each other very much. But as of a few months ago, Lewis actually moved to New York City where I live. And you, Lewis, live around the corner from me, so he was able to just stroll on by, over, record this podcast. So very excited to have you, Lewis. Thank you for coming.
I appreciate it.
So the point of this podcast mainly is to just for our audience, and also I guess for me, but mostly to our audience, I like to think I know you pretty well, to get to know you pretty well. And what we'd like to do is start off by just first diving into where you're from.
Cool.
So, were you born in Monterrey?
So, actually, I don't know. I thought it was going to be a more interesting question there, but yeah.
No.
Fully more with
I don't know what you thought this podcast was. Interesting questions is not
important. No. I mean, I lived most of my life abroad, but I was born in Monterrey.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so where did you grow up?
So, when I was 6 years old, because of my dad's job, like we moved to different countries because, you know, he was getting moved a lot. And so I spent like 3 years in Germany and then 2 years in Poland and then 6 years in Hungary. And then I eventually came back to Mexico, Monterrey, and that's where I finished high school. But before I was 18 years old, I had lived most of my life in Europe. And then I joined Minerva and I just kept doing the whole like Huffing City stuff.
So does that mean this last few years was your longest stint in Monterrey and like...
Yeah, actually. So, I mean, ever since I was like 6 years old, the longest I've been in Monterrey, even including my 6 years, like from 0 to 6, is like 8 years that I've been there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like total?
Total, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I knew that, but I forgot. Did you go to international school
throughout
the whole time? Like, were you speaking English in school?
Yeah. I mean, I went to like a British one in Poland and then like American schools, but yeah, all international. And then when I went to Mexico, I went to like a private school, but it was like in Spanish.
Okay.
And it was kind of funny because I was always like, oh, I'm Mexican.
Yeah.
And to everybody, I'd be like, oh, yeah, from Mexico. But when I arrived home, I was like, oh, you're not from here.
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
you're definitely super weird. And then, fair enough, you know, we're in a different environment and stuff. So that was actually the hardest place for me to not only make friends, but just feel like at home.
Yeah.
Like in my own...
That's so weird.
Yeah.
How old were you when you moved back?
I was 16.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I knew Spanish. It's not like I didn't speak it, but like I never learned how to write essays and stuff.
To be fair, like, because I learned from my mom, okay, so kind of weird. But, like, there's a lot of slang and a lot of things that, like, you know, you learn in school. And I would talk like a little weird person.
Because my mom would teach me, like, words that she made up. And
right.
I just found it as, like, oh, that, and nobody knows that word? Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, my, it's only my mom's.
Was that hard, though? Going back to, like, 16 years old. I mean, that's middle of high school.
Yeah.
And you had done most of your education in English.
Yeah.
Jumping into middle of high school with minimal formal Spanish education, what was that like?
Yeah, no, I think it was really the hardest thing for me that I can think of. I mean, I was never, like, the best student, but I did okay, I guess. But then when I arrived, it was like, oh my God, like, in 2 years, I have to figure out my whole university thing.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm failing every single class almost. And so I had to, like, really, yeah, put in a lot of time and stuff. And I will say this, like, looking back at it, it was really cool. Like, I did, like, a really intensive essay writing in Spanish course, I feel like.
Yeah. Were your parents aware of how difficult it would have been for you?
So Monterrey, for some time, was one of the most dangerous cities in the world.
Right.
Because of the drug war, cartels and stuff. And when I came back, it was actually better. Like, it wasn't as bad as it had been other years. But, like, because you never know what could happen, in the sense of, like, if people know you lived abroad, they might think, like, oh, you have, like, your family has, like, super rich or super wealthy or something.
Mm.
I had to not tell people that I lived in different places.
Really?
Yeah.
You had to just pretend you transfer from, like, another local.
I had to pretend that I transferred from a different local school, and right. that, like, my not ability to write properly was because my other school was really bad.
You're just dumb.
Pretty much. It sounds horrible, but yeah. It was that, because obviously, like, my really close friends would know.
Right.
Eventually, I would tell them, and they would be like, oh, that explains a lot. Right. To the average, even teachers, it's not that my parents were like, oh, if you tell them, it would be horrible. It wasn't like that, but it's just, like, precautions you take.
I get it,
like,
yeah.
If the info leaks, and you never know what could happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's why it was really, really hard, just because I had to kind of neglect a lot of parts in my life.
Yeah, and the teachers couldn't even know that you needed the accommodations. Like, you just had to pretend to, like, catch up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And it eventually did, and it worked out, but yeah, it was tough.
Wow. You have at least one sister. You have one sister.
And a brother.
And a brother, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And
a dog.
And a dog. And did they travel with you this whole time, or?
So that's also interesting. Like, I'm the youngest by far. Like, my sister is 12 years older than me, and my brother is 9.
Mm.
And so by the time I went back to Monterrey, they were living their life already, like, having graduated and stuff.
Right.
That's also why it made it more complicated, because it was like, well, I guess now I'm back alone.
Yeah.
My family trying to figure out. But, I mean, I don't want to sound like it was like, oh, it was the worst, because I do think I did make a lot of really good friends.
Yeah.
But it was tough.
Like, yeah. I mean, I can imagine. Did they travel to, like, Germany, Hungary, Poland with you guys?
Yeah. Like, well, initially, my sister did, but then she started doing university in Germany.
Right.
So she ended up being like, hey, you know what? I'm going to stay here.
Right.
And then after being there for so long, and, like, she worked with the government, and she got a German passport and everything, that's why she stayed there.
Mm.
She's been there, like, since I was there when I was 8 years old.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then my brother came with us in Poland, but then he studied in England and then stayed there for a while. And then now he's in Monterrey back.
I see. So does that mean they spend more of their childhood in Monterrey?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, my whole family, except for me, most of their childhood was in Monterrey. And so that's why when they came back, they, like, were really easy to adapt.
Right.
Whereas I left when I was 6.
Right.
So it was really complicated in that sense. But, it's cool.
Yeah. Are you a bit of an odd bird in your family? Or it because you guys all had so many international experiences that everyone's kind of weird?
That's really interesting way you phrase it. Like, are you the weird one, or is your whole family weird?
Yeah. Exactly. That's my question. I told you, don't no good interesting questions for this podcast.
No, okay. It's a good question. I don't thought about it like that. I feel like we're all weird in a different way.
Yeah.
It was just interesting because I feel like from my parents' perspective, when they came back, they were like, wow, this is going back to what we're used to. You know, like, this is where we're comfortable. Not that we were not comfortable abroad, but, like, it's definitely, like, that was a different culture for them.
Yeah.
And then coming back, it was, like, their culture, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, it was the complete opposite. For me, it was like, no. Like, I feel like that was my culture. Like, even though I was Mexican and I would say it, I felt like that's somewhere I was, like, comfortable.
Yeah.
And so moving in, and I think that's what makes me slightly more different to my other, like, brother and sister, because they were able to, like, develop their, like, childhood in one place.
Yeah.
You know? And I wasn't.
Yeah.
But also, like, I mean, I think there's like pros and cons to it as well, because I learned to adapt a lot.
Yeah, because you have to make new friends like every 3 years.
Yeah.
Pretty much,
yeah. And then I joined Minerva, and the good thing is we all stayed together
for 4 years.
Yeah.
Damn. So from that context, obviously, I can see how Minerva fits well into what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Was Minerva the type of school you thought you would be going to, though, when you were in high school?
I mean, to be honest, I didn't really think there was such a thing as Minerva until it just came up in my, like, Facebook or something.
Were you a Facebook ad kid? I saw them worked in outreach. Every student we know, or at least from our database, we don't know for sure, like, where they came from. Like, how did they first find out about Minerva?
Hey, wait, is there that one kid who's like...
Well, Facebook ad tends to be on the lower end. Like, we have high volume for Facebook ads, but for them to convert in down the funnel is pretty low.
Wow.
But, like, in comparison, especially to the number of volume we're getting. So that's why I was like, did you just ask? Because most people end up finding out through, like, a person, or, like, maybe their teacher told them about it. Because also, I'm just thinking, like, from the times you and I were learning about Minerva, I didn't even realize, but I was getting Minerva ads before I learned about Minerva. And then after I learned about Minerva, I was like, holy shit, I've been seeing these ads for months, and it didn't even register for me because it looks so sketchy.
Here's the thing. I just saw an ad randomly, and I was like, this looks cool. And then I was like, oh, it's university. Hey, I'll apply. It's free. Yeah, why not? And then I applied, and I feel, you know, it might have been that, like, I was really into... like, oh, Bitcoin is, like, super sketchy, but I'm like, that sounds cool.
You were a Bitcoin guy in 2017?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And so, even like, 2016, I think.
Yeah, because I remember when people were talking about Bitcoin when I was a senior in high school, and I was like, this is a joke.
Well, I did my, like, math IB. I was predicting Bitcoin's price using, like, a really rudimentary machine learning thing that I kind of knew back in the day, and some of my professors invested because of that into it. Yeah, they made a lot of money doing it. Yeah. I did it. Unfortunately, no. I mean, I bought like a little, but like they were like, you know what, we put $1,000, let's see how it is. And they were like, hey, thank you so much.
Did you end up predicting?
I mean, my model was shit, but my outcome was like, oh yeah, it's gonna grow like at least like triple in value. And it, like,
I mean, it went up much more,
way more, because I think when I started doing it was like $80 per Bitcoin, and then, you know, like at some point it was like 40,000 or something. So if you did it right, like, it went pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I guess, like, because I was into that stuff, I was, like, I'm not saying I was into a lot of sketchy stuff, but I would see random things that I was like, wow, this is really weird, but it might be really cool. Let me check it out. And then I did the Minerva thing. I read on it. I was like, this is really cool. I think it makes sense. Okay, here's the thing. I also have a funny story with Minerva because, like, I saw that, like, oh, I can continue living abroad in different places with this program. And it just, like, clicked. I was like, wow, that's something that I was kind of already doing before.
Yeah.
But I did it mainly in Europe. I want to do somewhere else. Like, I don't know. It just, like, clicked.
Yeah.
And so I immediately applied. I did everything to get in. I just didn't know it was the whole, like, computer, like, forum type thing. Yeah.
When did you figure that out?
In a sense. Yeah, and like, I was literally like,
you're like, where is the classroom?
No, I remember I was literally like we all saw the computers. I was like, oh, it's a really cool computer lab, you know? And I was like, oh, it's like, that's cool. Like, you know, maybe I'll use this for like a class or something. And they're like, no, that's the class.
Yeah.
It's Minerva. And I was just like, what? You know, like, what?
Clearly, you did not read up on it in that.
No, I didn't, you know, unfortunately. But it, like, I mean, I know this sounds maybe weird, but I do think that, like, after that, I was just like, wow, this is the place I want to be. Like,
So, but it was a good thing.
I mean,
you learn.
It's not something I was like, wow, the ALF is, you know, magical and like it's perfection. No, I don't think it was like that.
For context, ALF is the forum used to be called.
Sorry. So I didn't think the forum was like, you know, the best thing I've seen in my life.
Yeah.
But I did really click. I do think the future of education will be this.
Yeah.
And I want to be part of it now.
Wow.
And
okay.
Yeah. I mean, I also got inviting enrollment. So at some point I had to click, you know what I mean? No, I'm kidding. No. I'm like fully serious. Like I, the first day I saw everything, I saw the model, and Ben Nelson, maybe sometimes he says a lot of things. He maybe over exaggerates, but the core of what he would say, like, really, really resonated with how I was seeing like the future of education to be. So I was like, wow, this is perfect.
And was there one or two pieces that you remember standing out to you,
like,
about the future of education?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, obviously, like, being in different cities is like something I was really, really interested about.
Yeah.
and like the opportunities in different cities and all that stuff. Basically, this whole idea where like the teacher you would be in, like you could do all these like computer code in the forum. You could get a bunch of feedback from the teacher directly. You had small classes, like all of that. For me, was just like, wow, this is something I don't think you can get other places necessarily. Not like I don't want to sound like it's the only place you can get it, because I think maybe there's good competitors, maybe. But like, it just really aligned to like, wow, I know a place where I particularly could grow a lot.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and I don't think I will say like, oh, Minerva's for everybody, because maybe some people don't like value that or it wouldn't work for them. But for me in particular, I was like, this is where I can grow the most. I mean, you can never live another life to compare, but I think it was good.
No, the reason I asked is because I felt very similarly in a weird way, because I first was dropped to Minerva not because of the travel piece.
Yeah.
In an opposite way, I didn't really care to travel during college until after I joined Minerva, and then I realized I actually do really love that piece.
Yeah.
But mostly, I saw it as what education should be. I didn't even think of it like, oh, it's going to be the future of education. I was just like, I feel like they're the ones doing it right. Okay, so now that you're done, you're 2 years out from graduation, do you want to tell our listeners just a little bit of what you've been up to since you graduated?
No. All right, moving on. Here we go. Next one. Yeah, for sure. Before I graduated, I started doing like a project with another Minervan called Mauricio Urdaneta. He's another Mexican guy. Shout out to Mau if he's listening to this. And we basically started doing this project. It was like a sports booking platform called Cali. Anyway, it was going to be just like a project we were doing on like as a side thing. But then when COVID hit, the project itself became like not only like, oh, it could be valuable, but it was like, clients that we had basically talked to came up to us and were like, hey, we actually need what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And just to give context, Paddy is a booking platform for sports. And so our whole idea was like, hey, how can you make it like seamless for you to like, I don't know, play golf or go play football with like a QR code and you enter a place and done, you know?
Yeah, you can rent out the facilities.
Yeah, exactly.
Without having to do all like the calling and all that stuff.
Yeah, done, you know? Yeah. And I mean, I think now thanks to COVID in a way, like that has become really normalized.
Yeah.
But especially like in Mexico, in particular before COVID, like that was just not existent.
Yeah.
And because we had to go like turbo on it, that we had to work like insane amount to just get it working, we ended up thinking like, hey, what if we make this like a joint capstone? And I believe we were the first joint capstone to ever be passed. I might be wrong, but I think we were.
I feel like that's probably true because I don't think we had any in my class.
Yeah. Or I know, yeah, there was people that proposed, but they never got accepted.
Yeah, I did. I tried and they said.
Yeah. And like for us, we were kind of scared.
Yeah.
But I think because we had like a little product working, even if it was like, yeah, we don't have like millions of users, but it's something, they allowed it. And anyway, after we graduated, because we kept on working and it kind of kept us like making not insane amount of money, but enough to be its own business and everything. I kind of just kept on doing that with Mau. And so we went to Mexico City and we lived there for a year trying to expand, work on it. And to be honest, I think we learned a lot of things that I wouldn't repeat, but it's things that you learn, you know, by like sometimes like fucking it up or whatever. But yeah. It was really good. And I worked mainly like software engineering stuff, making the platform and also like analytics because I had done like data science at Minerva. And yeah, eventually we both realized like this is really cool, but the market isn't like super innovative. Golf courses aren't like, bro, you know, I want the AI with the blah, blah, blah. You know, they're like, yeah, as long as it works.
They just want, like, to fix a job.
Yeah, yeah. And I personally, I know Mau as well. We were both like, we want to be in the bleeding edge of stuff.
Yeah.
We want to be doing all these things. So Caddy is still a thing today, like 2 years in. We still work on it. I actually was working on it before I came to the podcast. Like, we're improving it, making it faster, and even experimenting things that we want to do on it. But we moved to different things and I'm working in another startup, like a fintech.
Yeah.
With actually another Minervan. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've been doing in the past 2 years.
That's awesome. What are your goals for the next 5 years of your life?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mm.
I don't know if I'll be in New York in the next 5 years, to be honest. I really, really like the city, but it's also like, I am completely aware that like sometimes maybe like another job might offer something else. Yeah, I'd go to somewhere else. Now that I guess because we work, make money, I want to definitely volunteer more. I know it's maybe not like a really good thing for the next 5 years necessarily.
Oh,
but I wanna have like a better scheduling for me to like properly volunteer with like things that I actually care about.
Yeah.
Because I think work is really important, but sometimes there's like things where you're like, oh, I wish I could be doing something about that. And there's so many issues that like you can tackle, I think. And so in the next 5 years, I want to do that. But also by like 5 years from now, I want to make that potentially a much bigger part of my work. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't have a super strong thing where it's like in 5 years, I need to have like 3 cats or something.
Yeah.
Like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just two is fine.
Yeah.
Two is fine.
Yeah. Are there certain areas you like to volunteer your time into?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely like things I care about, but I feel like you have to balance on the things that you can actually make really good impact on. Mm-hmm. To give an example, like a random example, maybe I really care about some random thing that's happening, let's say in China or in like Mexico or something. But if I'm not there, maybe I can give money or something. But I'm also like, okay, what are the things that I can offer and maybe help even like in my local community?
Yeah.
In the case of New York right now, there's a really intense migrant crisis. And so I definitely want to be able to help there in the sense of like, I know just because I see it, like Venezuelan people and like even like Mexican, Guatemalan, Salvadorian, whatever, they sometimes come here and maybe they do have their legal status, maybe they don't, I don't know. But like just routing yourself with the systems in the US can be so complicated. And people, when they know you can't, let's say, speak English, they can take so much advantage of you.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, regardless of your opinions on like immigration or whatever, I'm like, I don't think we should just kind of put people in like, okay, you figure it out and like potentially get super scammed at everything you're going
to
do.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't think that's okay. And so I definitely am like, if I could help there, even just like translation or something like that, like I love it.
Yeah. That's
just one thing. I mean, there's maybe other things that I'm
really
interested in. I used to work at Greenpeace.
Right.
With more environmental stuff as well. But yeah, that's the one thing.
Yeah.
Don't want to do a research.
That's cool. No, it makes sense because it sounds to me like you're more focused on creating a positive impact based on your skills and whatever is happening in the community and what you can actually do with your time that's most effective.
Yeah.
And that's great because there's so much volunteerism out there that is just purely ineffective because they're not putting in the spaces. It's like those missionary trips where they want to build a house and build a school in like Rwanda or something. So I think it's cool that you're also thinking about what it is that you can actually do that feels worthwhile to do.
Yeah.
So then it's more focused on the people you're helping rather than you feeling good that you're volunteering.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's still important. You can have both.
Yeah. I mean, and also like I've actually talked to other like people about this particular thing.
Yeah.
And like I do think that it's so important to be cognizant of what you're saying and like what are your skills and like what you can offer. But also a lot of the times there's already like a really built-in networks of like NGOs and things like that. And you also don't want to be like, I'm going to be the savior, you know? Like you also want to be like, hey, maybe research that as well.
Absolutely.
Because if they need people, like, yeah, go ahead. But if it's like, no, like we're fine with people. It's just, we just need like material to help. I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like, no, I'm not giving that. Like, I want to help. You know, like, bro, I don't know.
Yeah. And in an undefined timeline, if you could have a dream life anytime in your life, what would that look like?
You know, it's actually kind of interesting you ask that because I personally do every like 4 months a goal. I set like, what are my like goals in the next 3 months, in the next 1 year, and next 3 years? And like a really, really long-term goals. And they've been really similar like throughout my whole life, which I think is really cool. Yeah,
yeah.
But they've actually changed a lot recently.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like basically one of the things I really wanted to do, and I, in a way, still want to do it, but it's like, I wanted to like have a forest.
Yeah. You want your own forest?
Okay, but that's the thing. Yeah, I
wanted like to have
a forest. A little lord, like a little castle. Not kidding. No. But I wanted to like have a place where I grew a lot of plants and stuff and like lived almost like a hermit or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I thought that was like the way to live, you know? Like a Smurf. Yes, exactly. but I think it's such a, it's not necessarily lonely, but I think that's like ultimately you want to do nothing and be comfortable. And I never analyzed it like that until very kind of recently. Yeah, so I feel like a lot of the dreams that I had were very like, oh, I want to own something eventually, or I want to, you know, be in like a state of like, I don't have to work that much and just chill in the forest, you know? And I don't know why I've changed a lot, but I feel like at some point I kind of realized, I was like, that's a cool dream to have, but I think I want to be able to help other people have that. You know what I mean? Like I started changing. I was like, you know what? I don't want to be like the one in the little forest where everybody else is in the same, not the best situation.
Right.
And so I literally erased a lot of my really big dreams I had recently because I was like, no, I think I have to redefine them with a more social, like, of like, how can we in, like, not have a park for myself, but like, how can we just have more greenery spaces for everybody?
Yeah.
So I'm still kind of defining that, but I see myself more as like a person within a community where we all can be happily hermits, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that's my weird answer to it, but yes.
Yeah.
It's over there. So if you want to join my hermit kingdom.
So it sounds like what you want is to be Papa Smurf.
Pretty much, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I will happily be a Smurf in your Smurf village.
Or my Smurfette.
Yeah. Even better. Yeah. That's really cool, though. Are we heading in like a commune direction, or is it more like you just want to design more green spaces in cities? Or is it not so specific like that? It's more like a sort of abstract idea that you have.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now it's an abstract idea. Like, it's funny because I swear, like, if you had asked me this like a week or two back, I feel like I could have given you a really succinct answer on my dreams. But I know for a fact now that I'm like, I don't feel comfortable.
Damn. Yeah, that's so interesting. So it literally, the last few weeks, you've really had a
change of... Yeah, because it's not like it was bad in the sense of like, oh, wow, those dreams suck. It was just that like they were very, very individualistic.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to have that. I'm not saying it's bad or I want to demonize it. But maybe just because I've been feeling a lot more with like the community or with the people I like nearby and stuff, I've just started to transition my goals to be more community oriented, maybe.
Yeah.
So I think it's there. Yeah. And I guess it's more abstract. I can't really say like, oh, I want to have this park or something like
that. Yeah. No, that's beautiful. I feel very similarly with my conception around community. I think I'm no psychologist, but it feels to me like that's one of the best ways for people to live a fulfilling, happy life. Okay. And I only wish everyone could find that for themselves. And yeah, it's truly a joy and an honor to be able to create community for the people around you.
Yeah.
To be able to give that to others.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. I mean, hopefully, if it's so abstract, unfortunately, it's hard to determine if you're meeting that goal.
Yeah.
But
yeah. And then we can build
a little courses
in the Papa Smurf. And then we can use Caddy to
build into buckets. Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect. All right, so Lewis. We like to end our podcast with a quick fire round of questions.
Oh, no. I don't want to be canceled.
So, phone calls or texting or FaceTime?
Texting.
Texting?
Yeah.
Okay. Podcasts or music?
Music.
Okay, no, wait, no, this podcast in particular.
This specific podcast, yeah. That's the right answer. Yeah.
How about gone in my head, just to the people?
No guns. Okay. What are you talking about? I've been talking to book or ebook?
Actually?
Book.
No. I'm actually ebook.
Really?
I mean, I like books, but dude, ebooks, you can have so many, like a little thingy. Yeah, ebooks.
So much easier to travel with, also. Yeah. Then you could take that on the subway and look a way less pretentious doing
it. I used to take so many books like when I was in Minerva. Like,
really?
Yeah. I mean, not 100 or anything like that, but like, I don't know, like 9. And it's like, it's so heavy. It's heavy as hell.
Yeah.
Like, and at some point I just changed. I was like, wow, I could have.
Yeah. I never really understood people who brought more than one book to Minerva because, I mean, maybe I'm just a practical person, but to me, it takes so much space.
Yeah.
And you could just get a little Kindle and have as many books as you want.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not really over here.
That's like ebooks. Woo!
Okay. If you had a massive megaphone and you could say one thing to the whole world.
To the whole world.
What would you say?
I would say maybe that some of the most complex problems have very simple answers.
Love it.
I'm surprised it wasn't...
The Tigres is the best team in the
world. Yeah.
Never mind. The Tigres is the best team.
Yeah.
And in the world.
All right. Let's wrap up this episode. So, Lewis, if our very engaged audience wanted to reach you, wanted to contact you, wanted to tell them how much they love you, how would they do that?
Yeah. So, the easiest way to reach me, I think, is like when you see a pigeon in the street, just like if it kind of twiggles a certain, like, you know, like the twiggling pigeons.
Yeah, yeah.
Put a little paper in their feet and they just...
Is there any advice on how to get the paper on the feet?
Yeah, so there's a like the bottom part of the pigeon.
Yeah.
Right? It looks like a little hole, but it isn't.
Oh.
It's actually like...
I don't know. It says yoink. I can't read on it. No, yeah, I guess my Instagram or something.
Yeah, that will work.
Yeah, I think that's better. Yeah. That'll be slightly better than the pigeon one, yes.
And Lewis and all his pigeons will be tagged on our Instagram page.
Yeah,
so you can find them there. Well, Lewis, thank you so much.
Well, thank you
for being on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Anytime, from Monday to Tuesday. Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and automatically get notified about new episodes on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at humansofminerva.podcast for all the latest updates. Thank you to our editor, Anli Lian, for working her magic on this episode. Thanks for listening to Humans of Minerva. See you next time.